Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Alan Lichtman, Distinguished Professor of History at American University, who has studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predict the Next President. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Lichtman.
Thank you, Ian.
And clearly, this race is tightening between President Obama and Mitt Romney. I know your prediction system has nothing to do with the polls, but nevertheless, the polls are obsessing the chattering class, and they're all over the place. Do you have any opinions on the poll?
I do. First of all, how do you verify a poll? Since not a single vote has been counted, there is no reality against which you can check the accuracy of a poll except by taking another poll. And how do you check the reality of that poll? You take another poll until you finally reach the ultimate poll, the election itself. That's why conventional political punditry and commentary is worthless. It has no scientific grounding whatsoever, and it's always adjusted to the last poll or the election itself, so it's always retrospective and never predictive. For example, in 1988, after George H.W. Bush came from behind in the polls and won, all the commentators said that brilliant George Bush. He ran all of those nasty negative ads like the Willie Horton ad that brought down his opponent, Michael Dukakis. Well, if George H.W. Bush had lost, the same pundits would have been saying, that's stupid, George H.W. Bush. Didn't he know when you represent the party holding the White House, you can't run negative ads like that? You've got to be presidential. So you can really discount all of the commentary and all of the punditry based on the polls because it has no scientific validity, whatever. That said, it doesn't mean the polls have no predictive value at all. But as you point out, with the polls all over the place, ranging anywhere from, I think the Gallup had Obama behind by six, Romney ahead by six. Other polls had Obama ahead by three. I've seen polls in Florida anywhere from Romney up by two to Obama up by six. So I don't think you can say anything right now based on the polls. Plus, as we know, these polls can fluctuate depending upon events. And we have another debate coming up in a day.
Well, how much, though, do these debates affect things? Because it appears, if you're to believe the polls, and again, you know, you've made some serious caveats there about believing the polls. My hunch of what's happened here is that Obama had very successfully framed Romney through his negative advertising. And Romney, of course, had helped Obama with the tape of where he mentioned the 47% not taking responsibility for their lives. And the fact that Romney did well in that first debate, and the fact that most people were paying attention for the first time, some 70 million Americans, enabled him to completely etch-a-sketch his entire campaign on the stump for the previous 2 years, and then appear to be a moderate overnight. And nobody, you know, it's a cynical move, but nobody's following it very closely. And that a lot of Americans who weren't really paying much attention suddenly thought, and the center that's supposed to decide suddenly thought, well, this guy maybe is not as bad, you know, and therefore they're starting to reconsider him, and some of them are actually considering him, and it's a double whammy because in giving Romney more credibility, you're also these swing voters are also saying, well, everything that Obama said about him so far is a lie. So isn't that what's happened here?
Well, in terms of the narrative of the campaign, I think that's mostly right. What I think you've missed is that Obama had a historical meltdown in the first debate. It wasn't just that Romney won the debate. It was that Obama lost the debate by a much larger margin than we've ever seen before in the history of debating. So this was, in effect, an unprecedented kind of debate. It wasn't just the normal debate effects that you might see where one candidate, you know, wins by 10, 15, 20 points like we saw in the second debate. And I do think that did change the narrative of the campaign because it was historically unprecedented. It did not change the fundamentals, which for a long time, based on the keys to the White House, have been pointing to an Obama win. But again, the keys, of course, are based on history and whether an historical breakdown like that can or cannot change history, we won't know for a couple of weeks.
Again, I'm speaking with Alan Lichtman, a distinguished professor of history at American University, who studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. So, most of the punditry, and I take it that there's some historical basis to this, indicates that if you have unemployment at the kind of level that we have, no president's been able to overcome
that. Incorrect.
Except
Incorrect.
For FDR.
That's false. First of all, there was much higher unemployment in 1936,
right,
when Franklin Roosevelt was reelected with 60% of the vote. Unemployment was well over 10%. Number two, while you can, you know, draw distinctions about tenths, unemployment was almost exactly the same when Ronald Reagan won 60% of the vote. Today it's, what, 7.8? During his reelection, it was about 7.5. And it could well go down to 7.5 when the final report is in. So, you know, all of these, this is the first time, this is the only time. Those have no scientific basis either. They're just plucking facts out of the air. That's like when George W. Bush was running in 1980, it was, oh, no sitting vice president has been elected president since Martin Van Buren, you know, 150 years earlier. Meaningless stuff. Meaningless.
Well, but it seems that it has been a drag. It certainly is what Romney mostly campaigns on, is jobs,
sure,
jobs, and more jobs, and I'm the
sure
job creator.
It's not a good thing. Absolutely right.
The fact that there's been a shift in it with the swing voters indicates to me that he has Romney has managed to come across as being electable, and prior to that, Obama, through his advertising, had made him unelectable and unsuitable. So,
well, I think that, again, that's all speculation. That's all being based on the polls,
right,
which, you know, do tilt, and we don't know why they tilt and change throughout the election. But no question, the economy is not a plus for Obama. If you were to predict this election solely based on the economy, you would not predict an Obama win. In fact, if you were to base this election solely on the economy and solely on the debate, you might predict a landslide for Mitt Romney. But the whole lesson of the keys is you can't reduce a presidential election just to that. There are a lot more factors that have to be taken into account. That's why I have 13 performance factors and not one or two. All of one or two models fail.
Well, President Bill Clinton, who is campaigning for Obama, just a couple of days ago said that this shouldn't be a race. The only reason it is because Americans are impatient on things not made before yesterday, and they don't understand why the economy is not totally hunky-dory again. What do you think of his analysis?
I think there's a lot of truth to what Bill Clinton says. Bill Clinton is a shrewd guy, and I do think that if, in fact, the economy was good, given everything else, this would not be a close race. This would be a runaway. But given the drag on the economy, even though I think on balance things favor Obama, obviously the economy is the weak point. But I again say those who claim the economy is the only thing, if they were right, this would be a landslide for Romney.
So you're obviously sticking with your earlier predictions, Alan Lichtman, that Obama will win this.
Correct.
And what's your sense then of how in the closing weeks it all seems to come down to the so-called swing voter, the undecided, the persuadable?
Another myth. How do we know who is undecided? The only way we know is people tell the pollsters. And we know that's not true. For example, the Gallup poll in 1984, around this time, had Jimmy Carter ahead by 7 points. Ronald Reagan won by 10, a 17-point swing. Does that mean, and yet, again, just like today, you would have assumed from the polls very few people are undecided. We have this myth in our heads that just because people tell the pollsters something, that it is necessarily valid. Absolutely untrue. People don't focus on exactly how they're going to vote till very close to the election, often in the polling place. So there are potentials for vastly greater swings than the conventional wisdom would have us believe.
But my understanding, Alan Lichtman, is that this is a fairly conservative country, and it's pretty unusual for a liberal to get elected, and we're just honoring the memory today of George McGovern, who, of course, got really trounced in 1972. And my sense is that in many ways, Obama got elected in 2008 because of Bush. And I think if you looked at that second debate, the very mention of Bush is like he's totally toxic, you know.
All this proves my point. Exactly right. Obama got elected because the voters, based on the keys, and I predicted that election in April 2003, were not going to give the Republicans 4 more years in office. That's the way the keys work. Votes are up or down on the performance of the party holding the White House. This time, however, given the overall performance, not just the economy, it's enough to predict an Obama win, a very different situation. And by the way, Obama is no George McGovern. George McGovern was way to the left of Barack Obama. Barack Obama is center left. George McGovern was hard left, just like Barry Goldwater 8 years before him in 64 was hard right. Plus, George McGovern is nothing like today's politicians. Today's politicians are consultant-driven, poll-driven, huckster-driven. They very rarely say anything of value or significance or controversy. George McGovern stood up for his principles. He wasn't watching the polls. He said what he believed and never trimmed his sails to what he thought might be popular. So I don't think it's a valid comparison.
Well, it wasn't so much a comparison. It's just that I think that the electorate tends to be conservative, and that I was suggesting that Obama got elected in a sense because the other guy had screwed up so much.
No question.
And I agree with you. He's a centrist. There's no question about it. He's never been a leftist, but he is being portrayed as such. And that if the other guy looks like he actually isn't as bad as they said he was and maybe is electable, then the natural conservative tendency of the American electorate is such that they'll swing to Romney. That's what I'm suggesting.
Well, again, that's pure speculation. There's no historical evidence to back that up. We've elected conservative presidents. We've elected liberal presidents. We've elected centrist presidents. I mean, I remember everyone saying Ronald Reagan can't be elected in 1980 because he's hard right and Jimmy Carter is right smack in the center and we're a centrist country and we'll never go for Ronald Reagan. Well, of course, Jimmy Carter's performance was so poor that there was no question that Ronald Reagan was going to win, and he won by 10 points.
And that was because of the only one and only debate. Everything, Carter was ahead until that one debate. And then
incorrect.
That's not true?
No.
Go ahead and tell me what.
There have been studies of this based on the polls of polls. Going into the debate, Ronald Reagan was ahead 4 or 5 points on the average of the polls going into the debate. And did win by a larger margin than that, which may have been due to the debate or may have been to the fact that the polls were not accurate before. That's the problem. We don't know. How can you know whether it was the debate or simply that people coalesced and made up their minds and the polls weren't right before the debate? Since there is no reality check on a poll, any poll-based commentary can't be proven correct.
So I hesitate to ask you, Alan, about what do you think will happen on Monday night and whether it'll be significant in any way.
Well, I do think debates are significant. You know, if they're like historic meltdowns like we saw with Obama, I don't expect that to happen Monday night. But debates are important in another sense. You know, let's leave aside the punditry of who's going to win or who's going to lose. What about the nation? Debates are important because that's an opportunity for candidates to explain to the American people what their positions are and what they're going to do if elected. In other words, to gain a mandate. It's one thing to be elected. It's another thing to govern. And what has been so striking, and I've made a lot of commentary about this election, is whoever wins, no one's going to have a mandate. Nobody knows what these candidates precisely stand for. And they're going to have a divided Congress, and they're not going to be able to come in the way Ronald Reagan did in 1980 and say, you know, I have a mandate to cut taxes, deregulate, and build up defense. I don't know what the mandate would be, no matter the outcome of this election. And that's been very dispiriting. It's why I go back to my friend George McGovern. You knew exactly what George McGovern would have done if he were elected.
Right. Well, you know, your point's well taken. They'll spend $6 billion on this election, and we'll be exactly back where we are with gridlock. If the Dems pick up a few Senate seats, they'll only hold the Senate, but they won't have a filibuster-proof threshold, and then the House will probably stay in Republican hands. So it'll be gridlock and gridlock and gridlock. But just in the last minute or two, Alan, the polls, and I know you've made a good case that they're a waste of time, and they certainly are all over the place. But the Romney's ahead in likely voters in that category, but registered voters put Obama ahead. So that suggests to me that the likely voters on the Republican side are fired up, and the likely voters on the Democratic side aren't fired up. So how?
Or there's another explanation.
Uh-huh.
The gap between the likely voters and the registered voters in the Gallup poll is 5 to 6 points. That's impossible. Mathematically, that can't work because there are only 10% voters screened out. That is, registered but unlikely voters are only 10%. The math doesn't work. So I think there's big problems in how they screen for likely and unlikely voters. But secondly, Republicans traditionally have been higher turnout folks. So when you're looking to, how do you know who's a likely voter? A lot of it is what people have done in the past, where Republicans generally have done better and their demographic tends to be a higher turnout demographic. But what the likely voters cannot take into account in any way, shape, or form is the ground game. Who has the better ground game? Who has the better organization? And who is going to turn out more voters? And that can cut in the opposite direction of the likely voter screen. And one indication of that is not polls, but early voting. And so far, where we have Democratic versus Republican ballots in Iowa and Ohio, Obama is way ahead in the early voting. So that kind of cuts against this whole likely voter model. And I also think every pollster has a different method for screening likely voters, which is why there's a 9-point difference between the high polls and the low polls for Obama and Romney.
So you think that we know the African Americans will show up on the Democratic side. They are the most reliable constituency. There's some doubt about the Latinos who could show up in large numbers, and it'd be a sweep for Obama if they did. And you've got the basic American left that's kind of disappointed that their miracle worker turned out to be mortal, and they're not too thrilled. So, I'm not sure that the turnout is necessarily good on the Democratic side.
We won't know because we don't know how good the ground game is. I just gave you one indication, though, that this likely voter screen may not be all that it's cracked up to.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ian. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Hello again, I'm Ian Masters. I'm just speaking then with Alan Lichtman, who's a distinguished professor of history at American University. He studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about what's really going on in Libya.